The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and I wonder if we can go an entire show without talking about that thing. Well, it's only an hour and a half. What are the odds we can do it? It's a Wednesday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart. Aaron Raybould, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. Aaron will read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. And you can also watch us on Twitch. You know the number for that, too. And it's a Wednesday where we do things just a little bit differently. When you call, text, tweet, send a raven, Twitch, whatever you do, put odds on it. What are the odds?
Whatever you do.
However you do it.
Wherever you may roam.
Where I lay my head is home.
That's right.
Tonight I'll be laying my head at home in Las Vegas, as will you.
At the MGM.
Indeed.
Well, unless you get lucky and you might end up at the Luxor with some lucky lady.
No.
No?
Not happening.
Okay.
There's not too much trouble we can get into tonight. But
it's tough to get in trouble tonight.
Yeah, we get in there, 11:30, so... figure there'll be some time at the lobby bar, and that'll be about it for tonight. But that's all right. Get the trip off to a good start.
See, how much money can I lose my first night at the blackjack table? It's always the question.
Yeah, there's always that.
That always determines my poker bankroll for the rest of the trip.
Well, there's that, and there's do I go sit and play cash against the drunks at 2 in the morning, which is always fun. But I don't know. I'm just going to play it by ear. My plan right now is no gambling tonight. Just go sit in the bar with some of our friends and have a few drinks and then call it a night early, but that's always the plan going in, and you have to be flexible.
Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't.
But I'm looking forward to seeing what guests we get. It's going to be an awesome fight Saturday that we will have plenty of time to talk about, and looking forward to getting some professional opinions. Hey, can I take a second to praise my friends at Sam Houston Race Park?
Certainly.
Most racetracks do not care about the players. They really don't. And the exceptions are Santa Anita, where one of my friends runs the players. He's VP of player development. And the other one's Sam Houston. So it sounds like a silly thing, but today they ran the first couple races on the turf. Then they got too wet, and they had to take them off the turf. Well, I had a pick three, a live pick three that started in race four with the horse I picked. He won easy. And the second race was on the main track. As it was scheduled, the horse that won was 22-1, also picked on top by me today.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So I'm
so
alive.
You're looking at a big ticket.
I'm looking at a nice ticket. I'm alive to 8 horses in the third leg, but they take it off the turf.
So that changes.
It changes everything. There's like 4 horses I don't have, and of course one of them that I don't have wins because I didn't handicap it for off the turf because it wasn't off the turf when I made the bet. Well, they paid off on all in the third race. Most tracks will just say, hey, you're stuck with what you got. But they paid for it. Basically, they made it a daily double. So it came back $85, but I had it 8 times. So it worked out okay.
Okay.
But that's, I mean, it's a little thing. But that just kind of shows that they care about the players. They realize you made that bet thinking that race is going to be on the turf, and it changes everything. So props to them.
Good for you. Good for them.
Got a little extra in my BetUS account to play with while I'm in Vegas now, too. But, yeah, it's just it's a little thing that they take care of the players. So, Tom wants to know, what are the odds Fred or AJ get arrested in Vegas? You know what?
Nah, we don't do that. It's hard to get arrested in Vegas.
It's hard, and we've been there enough, and we've never really even come close to getting arrested. So no. I think I'm going to say less than 1%.
If you get arrested in Vegas, you either live there, and you've just like you're one of those dudes who like lives on the pedestrian bridges and you know stuff like that, or you're a rookie.
Yeah,
and.
Yeah, and
we're neither.
No. We're professionals here. We know what we're doing. But yeah, I think it's...
Although Fred does sometimes when we get there dress up as SpongeBob and
that is
charge people for pictures on the street.
Yeah, and but that's okay. It's not illegal.
It's not illegal.
You know, that and I have a friend who lives there who dresses up as Patrick and another one with Squidward, and we kind of...
Yeah, you guys... It's a racket.
If we started performing acts as the three of us, then, you know, then it's illegal.
Is it?
Yeah, sex acts on the street are illegal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sex acts,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're just taking pictures with people, and you're in silk costume, no big deal.
Right, right.
That's totally fine.
Yeah, and during the summer, that thing stinks to high heaven because
big deal.
It gets hot, and you sweat, and it's gross.
But it's February.
Yeah, it's actually, the weather's pretty cool there. It's a lot cooler than it is here. So.
I heard it's going to be like 50s, 60s while we're there.
That was 40s, 50s, but same thing.
I packed a hoodie.
Yeah, I'm bringing my Roughnecks hoodie.
Okay.
So that's how I'm going to represent. I'm going to wear the Roughnecks hoodie.
Roughnecks.
Yeah. Stryker said odds depend heavily on whether or not Fred wears his 2017 World Series champ shirt. I couldn't even find it. I was looking for some stuff to wear today. And, yeah, so I have no Astros gear with me.
Oh, wow.
And it's not because I'm trying to avoid trouble. It's just because I only have, like, one hat and one Astros shirt, and I couldn't find the shirt. And hat-wise, I only take two, so... It's not like I load up on the hats. Maybe I should have worn the hat, but oh well. 713-780-3776. So what's on your mind today, Hoffman?
I mean, what's really on my mind is, you know, I'm ready to get out there. But I realized, and I was, when I was thinking about how I wanted to do the show today, I kept in mind that you're tired of talking about that
I am, but if we have to. I've come to accept that. I don't have any new insight, is the thing. Maybe I do, but I was trying to avoid it. No, I mean, yeah, if we need to get into it, let's get into it, but let's just not let it eat the whole hour and a half up, if that's fair.
I think I'm good with that.
Okay.
I do think that it's probably...
I'm not inflexible.
Okay, it's probably another day where it needs to be addressed, but I don't think it has to dominate the show as it did previously.
And previously on the Blitz. And by previously, yeah. I mean yesterday.
And the day before.
Yeah.
Giancarlo Stanton says if he knew which pitch was coming, he would have hit 80 home runs. And then I started thinking about it, and I was like, I mean, to hit 80 home runs, wouldn't you have to play in more than like 60 games?
Yeah, see, that's exactly what I was on Brandon Morrell's podcast. That's exactly what I said. It's like, yeah, if you have to be on the field enough to hit 80 home runs.
Yeah.
And second off, you know what? You're going to have to add a little more windstraw to your ass if you want to do that.
Right.
And I mean a little more. I don't mean start.
Right, right.
It's just a matter of time.
Allegedly.
Yeah, well, that dude's going to get busted. Yeah, that's the next Ryan Braun. You know it's going to happen, and it'll be some excuse. And it's always the ones who talk the loudest.
But, yeah, I mean, it's funny that typically this doesn't happen in baseball specifically. Players going after other players. It's not typically done. And here's the other thing. It's not like the Astros went to the players' union and said, hey, we'll only talk if we get immunity. It was the players' union that basically made the deal, we're only going to give you access to the Astros if there's immunity. And now all of a sudden, all these players who signed off on this CBA are like, oh, they should be punished. What? What are we doing here? It's just a very odd thing for a sport that typically, I mean, that union, we've talked about it before, it's got to be the strongest in sports, certainly.
It certainly was. It certainly was when Donald Fehr was there, and he's doing the NHL one now. He's not with baseball anymore.
Right.
And it's still strong, but I think when he was there, it was a lot more powerful union. My thing is, I think you've just got a bunch of little crybabies that, yeah, the guys that are talking they're the same ones that troll people on Twitter. They sit in their mother's basement in their underwear. And if anybody calls them out to their face, they run like little bitches. That's who they are. And the other group that needs to go and check itself are these baseball writers, the same ones who vote on the Hall of Fame that are in their 70s, older than me, believe it or not, that are, you know, look, I get it. Your sports are relevant. You're irrelevant. You chose to cover baseball. Now nobody cares about you. So as soon as you get something like this, you have to seize on it because now everybody's clicking on it. You want to get recognition. And it's funny because it's like when the Justify thing happened in horse racing. You know, people wanted, you know, I had to come out and say something on that. Well, that's how these baseball guys feel. But you've already said it. Enough. You're not adding anything. Nothing's going to change. I don't need to see another Ken Rosenthal tweet across my timeline because somebody responded to it.
And then the other thing that...
That was my take for the day.
That's your hot take of the day?
Yeah. Suck it, old baseball guy.
Did you hear Buster Olney today?
No. Another one of those, by the way.
Buster Olney says that, obviously, because options are limited by the immunity granted, there is something that baseball could do. He says Manfred could take the step of wielding a formal and final and unprecedented resolution of censure of the 2017 Houston Astros, which I don't know exactly what that would do.
It wouldn't do anything except make these irrelevant idiots happy.
It says he could ask for the owners for their backing and then forward the final resolution to the members of the Players Association, giving the Astros' frustrated brethren an opportunity to vote their disapproval. A sport-wide condemnation would be a permanent stain. And it says, he said, Manfred could say, as I've had more time to process the fallout from what the Astros did in 2017, and as I've heard from fans and players throughout the sport, I believe more action is warranted beyond the initial penalties handed down. For repeatedly cheating against its opponents throughout the regular season and postseason, as established in MLB's investigation, the 27 Houston Astros are hereby censured, a designation to be forever noted in baseball's official record book. And for those of you who don't know the word censured, it's here's the definition, because it's not like censoring. It's not censorship, like censor.
Right.
Express severe disapproval of someone or something, especially in a formal statement. So essentially it means, and this happens typically in politics.
Right.
It's basically like this senator has been, because they can't just say you're a senator, you've done a bad job, you're out, because it's not that easy. So they basically just put a permanent mark on you that says you've done an awful job. And it can ruin relationships within the Senate. It can ruin,
right.
Although
not so much anymore. I mean, now you can kill a baby and it doesn't matter.
But basically it's similar to an asterisk, I suppose, is what they're asking for. And it says if Manfred took these steps, he would find support within the industry, given the apparent fury over the Astros' handling of the aftermath. And I'll be honest, I don't know that. I don't know if it would matter. So, like,
if that's going to make a bunch of these people happy, go ahead. What does it really do?
I'm kind of with you on that, and I'm not saying they should do it. I'm saying if somehow there was because the reality is that World Series championship by everyone but Astros fans is always going to be looked at as tainted. I mean, let's just face what it is. They cheated. They won a World Series by cheating. It's always going to be called into question. So what this does is it formally says that the World Series is in question while not stripping the World Series away. Maybe that's sort of a happy medium.
Yeah,
because it doesn't matter. It's not like if there's an asterisk next to it, it's not like they're not the World Series champions anymore.
Yeah, but at this point, though, does it really make a difference?
No, it doesn't make a difference to me.
People aren't going to shut up. It doesn't make a difference to me either.
But I'm saying if it would make a difference to the rest of the league, and it's going to make a difference to these other players.
It'll never be enough for some people.
You might be right. They may need to sacrifice.
Yeah, short of we're taking away the title and these guys are banned for life. That'll satisfy some people, but guess what? That's not going to happen. And I mean, no, I don't think that's a bad compromise. I just think it's a month too late. I think they could have done that at the time. But who are we trying to please? The East Coast media? I mean, that's where all this is coming from. And there is a bias there. Believe me, I dealt with it for years in the newspaper business, that everybody on the East Coast just thinks they invented journalism and that they're better than everybody else. And they have a louder voice because there's more of them. And they're out there. So, you know, is that going to make them happy? I don't know. I don't care. I don't care about making them happy. I think what happened was it was fair. The punishment was fair for the most part. I do wish the players had gotten nailed a little bit too, but, you know, they chose the immunity. The commissioner chose the immunity. And with that, I can't really say anything about the players because, okay, well, we wouldn't have found out otherwise.
Right, because the reality is, had they not, and he brings that up in the story, had he not given immunity, this investigation would still be ongoing, and not only would it be ongoing, the players' union would have stepped in to block and protect the Astros players because that's what it's there to do. So there'd still be questions about what really happened. There wouldn't be proof. This is the only way they got to the bottom of this and hopefully killed it across the board. I mean, the hope is this doesn't happen anywhere else going forward.
Yeah, I don't like your chances of that. Well, but I mean, maybe it won't with the Astros.
Certainly they're
not going to do it again.
Although, you know what? They had that guy in the photo well. Like they've pushed the limits before and gotten caught and not cared.
True.
But they wouldn't have gotten to the truth of this if they didn't handle it the way they did. You know,
or maybe they would have. It just was going to take a hell of a lot longer.
I mean, it's kind of like the Mitchell report thing.
Yeah.
The Mitchell report was there was no immunity granted. So it was really hard to get to any of the players because the players weren't talking about it. And the union wouldn't let them talk about it. So if you really wanted the Mitchell report ended up being useless because nothing ever came from it. If you, other than speculation, which is what we've got here, and you would have had, I mean, there's more than speculation, but that's what you would have had here is just people assuming that the Astros cheated. Now everyone knows that they cheated. Again, I don't know what putting a censure or an asterisk or whatever would do.
Yeah, well, let's put the asterisk away. That's just silly. It's only been used one time in history in baseball, so let's not. And it was wrongly used. So let's just, if you want to censure him. What difference does that make? If that makes the loud mouse happy, so be it. Texter said, Kurt Jim was on with Jake today on Charlie's show. Solid interview. I heard some of that. Yeah, Jake does a good job. I thought he had a good interview with him. And, Hockley Dan said, formerly condemn O'Brien and the plethora of AFC championships the Texans have backed into, making him most
You censure
possible.
Him?
He's censuring Bill O'Brien. Okay. I think that's what we need to do is figure out who we're going to censure today. And he also said, hope you guys have a pleasant flight to Vegas. No great big fat women, no seat recliners, and no throw-up. Well, I'm good on the seat recliner thing, and so is AJ. So we're fine on that. Can't speak to the others.
So. Gary Bowe's good, too, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, well.
He's my neighbor tonight.
Oh, well. At least you know he won't be in front of you reclining.
That's true.
I don't know Jerry Bowe's stance on that.
Well, Jerry Bowe's, he's not a tall guy, so I don't think it bothers
him
much.
Right, he's a tiny, yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he is a recliner, but
I'm going to bet no.
He's probably not staunchly against it like we are.
Yeah, because when you're tiny, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And he's kind of jockey size.
I mean, truth is, if I was 5'5", I wouldn't care. And I don't think Jerry's 5'5". I don't know exactly how tall he is.
He's at least 5'6".
If I were 5'5", I would not care at all if people reclined. It wouldn't affect me.
All right. Well, guys, I have to tell you about my man, Dr. Linville. And if you haven't been on the Twitch channel and checked out the hair lately, it's growing out really, really nicely. And I mean, honestly, I never expected this kind of success. And when I went and first met with him, I looked into a bunch of stuff and it just all felt phony, like hair plugs and garbage like that. And I met with Dr. Linville, and what he does is extract the individual follicles from the back of your head and just transplants them to where you're thinning. So it's your hair. All he's doing is moving it around. And with this technology now, anybody can get their hair back. Now, depends on how much work you have to have done. I had to have a lot done. John didn't need much on his, and his looks great too. But go and get the consultation and spend a few minutes with Dr. Linville. You'll be convinced. And I'll tell you why. You'll take one look at his hair and you'll say, wow, his hair looks really good. Yeah, it's because he had it done too. So he knows all about it. He wants to help guys like himself, like me, like you. Go to 975hair.com. 975hair.com. Find out what it's all about. 975hair.com. Accept what you create. You need to know your place. Because it's about to get hairy. It's about to be
hard. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Where do you draw the line? You know, where do you draw the line with that? And I understand people's feelings about that. You know, if you had a player that was, you know, you find out later that he took steroids and was part of a World Series run and had a big, you know, a big series. Do you vacate that trophy? You know, where do you draw the line? And everyone's going to have their own feelings on it. I have my own feelings on that and steroids. I do, but that's a tough line to walk. It really is. And, everyone's entitled to their own feelings, and that's a great thing. And I think as we continue to hash this out over the months to come, I think we'll probably have a better idea of what to do next up.
And we're back on the Blitz. What are the odds Wednesday? What are the odds that was Joe Girardi? Percent 1,000.
Percent 1,000.
A lot of people censoring things on the text line. Seat recliners, for one. St. Patrick says he found out his wife is a seat recliner. Fred, you obviously have a good divorce lawyer. Mm-hmm. Actually, I know one now. I could have used her in the past. I censure the Houston freeway system. That's a good one. So, yeah, I think we can just formally censure whatever the hell we want. I like this idea.
All right. It changes everything. I'm sure Houston will come and fix the freeways tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's already done.
And all the potholes down Emancipation and Richmond and all. Oh, they're doing some work on Richmond, but I don't know if it's going to be enough.
Hello, Scott.
Fellas, how we doing?
We're doing sports.
I think you could tell from my accent, I'm not an Astros fan, but I have a question for you guys. As far as like I get the media dwelling on it because there's not a lot going on. But as far as the players coming out and like, oh, I've lost respect for this guy and they didn't earn it. Do you think this is a millennial thing? Because I don't remember guys being like this when people won the World Series on steroids and stuff like that. Do you guys remember that?
The difference is this, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Nobody wanted to speak out against steroids because everyone knew that they had a teammate, at least one teammate, if not multiple teammates, who had been using steroids. And it just would have been awkward had it come out. So that's Dodgers, Yankees fans, you better hope to God nothing like this ever pops for your team. I mean, because those players then are going to look like more. And I think Cody Bellinger saying what he said when they just brought in Mookie Betts, who's probably going to be I assume the Red Sox are going to be outed for a similar thing. It's going to be awkward. So the steroids thing, nobody wanted to talk about it because so many people were doing it. It was running so rampant that you couldn't really call anybody out because you were calling out one of your teammates. There was going to be friendly fire. With this, I think I feel like, okay, this is isolated enough that we can go after these guys.
Yeah, I don't know why so many of them are feeling so bold by this. I think it gets some attention, that's for sure. So 713-780, ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776 on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. And Ty on the Twitch channel was asking if we're still looking for moderators. We've got our initial group, but if you want to email me, fowler975@gmail.com, I don't have a problem adding a couple more. I think we can still do that, but I don't really know. So shoot me an email, and I'll see if I can't make that happen. Cody asked, what are the odds John Beilein ends up at Texas next year? Not only were you like way ahead of this yesterday, I pulled a story just for you that has the places John Beilein might land.
Mm-hmm.
And Texas is by far the most likely, I think. But you mentioned Georgia Tech yesterday. They're on the list.
Not as appealing of a spot because right. they're coming. They're still under sanctions. They can't. Right. I mean, not that they're making the postseason this year, but they wouldn't be able to anyway. And they think they've got scholarship limitations for like the next 3 years. So not there's some downside to that job.
One of the other schools they mentioned, I just don't see it, is Indiana. Because Miller would have a $14 million buyout. I can't see them doing that.
Yeah, and not only that.
And he's having his best year. I mean, not.
I mean, they may not make the tournament, but they're clearly improving. I don't think they're going to want to pull the plug on it so soon, given the fact that this is going to be the best year Indiana's had under him.
And $14 million.
That's also a
plus deterrent. What you'd have to pay Beeline.
So. Yeah.
Wake Forest.
Yeah, Wake Forest is that's a tough one because
it's easy to forget that they were once a relevant program.
Yeah, and Danny Manning, given what I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you expect them to be. What the fair expectation for Wake Forest is. I feel like Danny Manning's done an okay job, but he hasn't gotten them any closer. They had one season where they were good, and then every other season they've been about what they are this year, just a pretty bad ACC team. And this season is during a weak ACC season, and they're not taking advantage of it. Danny Manning's probably going to go, but I don't know if it's a good job for anyone.
Right, right.
Because Tim Duncan and Randolph Childress aren't walking through that door anytime soon.
No, but a guy like that could get them to where they're competitive again.
Yes.
Certainly. And Vanderbilt, they also mentioned.
I would say that's a big no. I think that Jerry Stackhouse, 1 year, I don't know what their expectations were, but they looked like they were actually onto something until Aaron Nesmith got hurt, who was, by the way, the leading scorer in the SEC. He gets hurt and everything kind of falls to bleep, but you couldn't have possibly expected them to be much better than this. It's the guy's first year in the system. He's recruiting really well. I don't think Jerry Stackhouse is going anywhere.
Just passed an overturned car on San Felipe and River Oaks. Not how that even happens in a neighborhood. Stay safe out there, guys.
Meth.
You know what? I've seen it downtown a few times when people run red lights.
Yeah.
And it's... Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. Stop running red lights, guys. I censure you if you run red lights.
I'm also against red light running.
So, unless I'm in a hurry, and then it's okay.
Yeah, it's different.
Now, that's the one that almost, believe it or not, it's more dangerous when I get to the part of downtown that I exit than it is being on 59. On the same 59 they almost killed me on, because people run red lights and they don't pay attention. You want to knock out a couple more calls on this and move on?
Let's talk to Steve. Hello, Steve.
Hey, big fan of the show.
Thanks.
Hey, I was just going to say, I've been hearing Dan Levitard, and I've been hearing, Dan Pedrick, the homer for the Yankees up there, saying that the Astros have to give up their rings and they got to vacate the championship. But I want to say one thing. What about Beltran? He was with the Yankees before this, and didn't he tell the Astros that they were behind the times? And then, 2018, he became a consultant for the Yankees. If they're going to go after the Astros so hard, and now they have to go against the Red Sox because of Caro and everything. But they never talk about the 800-pound elephant in the room, the sacred cow, the New York Yankees. If you're going to go against the Astros, let's open up our Yankees and let's really expose this instead of let's just crucify the Astros. I'm getting sick of it. Thank you, and great show.
Thank you. Great call. Passion. That's what we love.
Deacon.
Sports, fellas.
Sports to you.
Listen, man, as I continue to listen to just the daily sports media, you know, national media, as I continue to listen to them just go in on the Astros, and I know you guys don't have no choice in Houston but to deal with it every day, I just want to bring up a point about sports scandals in general and how this one, to me, pales in comparison, because what happened with the Astros was a bunch of millionaires cheated a bunch of other millionaires out of, like, you know, Manfred says, a piece of metal. But I look yesterday, man, and I'm watching college basketball, Baylor, the number one program in the nation. I'm watching Baylor football come within one win of going to the college football playoff. This institute, man, they hid and actually assisted, almost in a way, if you want to put it that way, the rape of dozens and dozens of women by their football program. They allowed this institutional disorder to completely cover it while young girls' lives were destroyed forever. And it's like nothing happened to them. They had one down year in football, man, and now they're right back in competition. Baylor is the number one team in the nation. And I'm like, in comparison, we get so worked up over the Astros stealing some championship rings, man. Look what happened there. Look what happens other places, and it's like this is just gone and forgotten, man. And I just want to bring that back to the comparison, you know, that this isn't as bad on the grand scheme of things as other things that's gone on.
Oh, it's not even close, but there's people who will say that, you know, harboring rapists didn't affect on-field results other than, like any other recruiting scandal, at making sure guys who shouldn't be playing are playing. That's why it's a little bit different. And the other thing is there's someone who feels – there's actually a couple fan bases who feel that they were cheated and feel like they if things were on the up and up, they would be in the Astros' shoes right now wearing a 2017 World Series ring. So I get what you're saying. It's not the biggest scandal in the world. It shouldn't be looked at as the biggest scandal in the world. But also remember that baseball fans in general are kind of old school and protective of the game.
Which is ridiculous because, agreed, you know, again, steroids.
Yeah.
Protect all you want. But it's I think the reaction is ridiculous. And yes, what happened at Baylor is 1,000 times worse. And I've actually heard national people say that, oh, this is the worst scandal in sports history. And I'll say, you know what? I raise you Penn State.
Hey, man, f*** that.
I re-raise you Baylor.
Right.
I re-raise you Michigan State. I mean, give me a bleeping break, guys. Okay, can we get to something else? I got nothing else on this.
Yeah, I'm good.
So ask any hockey plays. We're 1-1 last night, or 1-0-1, depending on the number you got the second game at. I got the second game at 6, so I pushed it, but it was 5.5 for most of the day. The first one was over. It went over in the second period, so it was about as safe as it gets. All right, what do we have here?
Carbock, oh, Fred. Yeah, that's right. I had a fantastic time out at the Rodeo Clown Roundup. Sure, there were actually, I know for a fact, there were a ton of people who did have a jolly old time out there and had some great beer. They had a ton of great beer on the wall out there, including tons of different variations of Bourbon Barrel Hellfighter, which I know Fred is into. Of course, I am too. I drank my fair share. And some of that's still available on the wall. The food at the restaurant, out of this world. Guys, if you haven't tried the restaurant, you need to get there. You're going to get beers you can only get at the restaurant. You're going to get food that's just out of this world, made by legit chefs. We're not talking bar food, just legit restaurant, high-end quality food. And it's a great place. I mean, it's just a good place to hang out, a good vibe there at Carbock. They're always running concerts. So if you want to go, follow Carbock on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. They'll keep you up to date on what's new at the restaurant, what's new at the brewery, what beers are coming out, and what concert series are coming up. Pick up your favorite Carbock beer today, or when you're out and about this week, ask your bartender to please make it a Carbock.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Bernardo asked, what are the odds you guys stop talking Astros tomorrow? It's getting annoying from Astros fans and non-Astros fans. I would love to never mention the bleeping thing again, Bernardo. I really would. But I'm going to talk about what people are interested in. And
what's in the news?
Kenny says, do you feel like Brandon Dunn's contract extensions for 3 years and $12 million is a bit much or about right? That feels like a bit much to me. I mean, Brandon Dunn does not strike me as a starting level player. That's
when. Well, you already know what I'm going to say. Brandon Dunn, really good at practice.
I mean, he's an okay player, but that's more than I would pay for him.
My guess is they are doing this under the assumption that DJ Reader is going to go away, and they need to make sure that they've got at least a viable option there. And Brandon Dunn likely will be the starting nose tackle next year, which is that a good thing?
He's not bad.
No, he's not bad. I mean, but, he's not DJ Reader.
No.
So I guess they felt like it was a priority to make sure that that they had someone locked in that spot.
Jay says, the city still has Bill O'Brien, a much bigger problem than players and media members bashing the Astros. Someone can't find something soon on this dude. He's going to end up being the owner.
He is the owner. What are you talking mm-hmm. about?
Yeah, that's I formally censure Bill O'Brien.
One day I feel like Cal McNair is going to pull a mask off and it's going to be Bill O'Brien.
Yeah. I hope that's... I'm not going to get there. That's just mean. I don't want to be mean to anybody. See that I have a long shot Tom Brady spot for you.
Give it to me.
That has come up today in a report.
The Raiders.
Now, the Raiders are prepared to offer him $30 million a year for 2 years.
Okay.
Apparently, a possible landing spot now includes the New York Giants.
Oh, that would seem odd to me. There's nothing around him. They've got a guy in Daniel Jones who looks like he's got an up arrow by him, right? Like you would say that the Giants were probably pleased with what they got out of Daniel Jones.
And you think he's only going to get better, and that's probably going to be your guy moving forward.
Yeah.
And it's not like that team just needs a quarterback.
No, they're a long way off. That would be an odd landing spot, I would say. But crazier things have happened.
Yeah. But I don't know. I found that one interesting. That's not a name I'd seen before. We've seen a lot of Chargers and we've seen a lot of Raiders. Even seen Cowboys, which the longer things kind of go on with Dak Prescott, do you worry that they're not going to get something done with him?
I mean, obviously, I still think they're going to get something done.
It seems odd. Hey, are you familiar with actress Constance Wu?
No.
She was in the movie Hustlers, which was J-Lo's movie. I'm all for method acting, but to prepare herself for the role, she went to work in a strip club.
Oh, that makes sense.
And she said she even made $600 in one night.
Hell yeah.
From what I know about strippers, that's not a great night, especially in California. But
I would say it depends on the strip club.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if she went undercover in like the lowest rent strip club in California.
And let's face it, if you're a rookie stripper, you don't know how to dance, you're probably not getting a bunch of money.
No.
Like you've got to know how to work the pole, work the crowd. B, you got to have the good table dance. And if you're like an actress trying to pretend to be a stripper, you're probably given like the lamest table dances.
Yeah.
How are you going to make any money?
Although, you just have to pick on the drunk guys.
That's true. That can work.
That works pretty well. But she said, I went undercover and gave lap dances to strangers, she said. I'm four, okay? I'm gonna give this one a big thumbs up.
Okay. I've also just pulled up her Wikipedia page, and she's 37 years old.
Oh, so she was one of the afternoon.
That's what I'm saying.
Fill-ins, probably. Yeah. I mean, she's,
Once you hit 30, if you're making big money, you're a really good stripper.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Although, man,
the money to be made in stripping, I think, is from age 18 to 30.
I think that's fair. I mean, that's kind of your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
It's like football. Once you get to 30, it's pretty much downhill.
Yeah. Because when you're 24, you can say, I'm 20, and dudes will buy it. When you're 29, you can say, I'm 25, and dudes will buy it. Once you're 30, it's hard to BS it. We can kind of tell. Things start to change a little, especially when we see you naked.
Or mostly naked.
Yeah.
But
life comes at you fast when you've got to be naked for work.
Of course, she's Asian, so they...
That's true.
They're ageless, man.
That's true.
That's a proven fact. That's not even a stereotype.
So that's a... Okay, is that a racist comment that Fred just made?
Probably.
Are you saying white women age poorly?
No, I'm just saying that Asian women age very well.
Okay.
Even the old ones in the gym, man, their skin still looks good.
Well, I will say this. My dad, and I did a study on this after my dad brought it up to me. And I won't point out what the race we discussed was, but I was very attracted to a certain type.
Okay.
In my younger years. And my dad said, always look at their moms.
Oh,
that's what they're going to turn into. And in some groups, things got bad. In some groups, things stayed good. I'm not going to say what group I was into, but I was less into that group going forward.
Okay. Very understandable.
Yeah. So you're right. Some races age better than others. They say black don't crack.
I would say black men and Asian women.
Okay.
Those are the two that I think are age the best.
Okay.
As somebody who's old.
It's odd that Asian women seem not to age much. Asian men all look like they're 200 years old. That's a very interesting, like, I don't know very many middle-aged looking Asian men. You're either a young-looking Asian man or you show up one day and you're 100.
Yeah.
Like you're
Dr. Fu Manchu.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. 713-780-ESPN's a number.
The more I think about it, that happened to me too. I felt like I was a young looking dude, and then next thing you know, I was, you know, I've got more salt than pepper in my beard, and like I said, life comes at you fast
when your
job is spent being naked.
I remember seeing a photo of a bunch of us from the Chronicle when I was like 28, 29. And it's like, damn, I was young. Damn,
did they have the person good. Holding like the lamp and it like, push?
No, it wasn't that far back.
Oh.
No. But yeah, it was kind of.
I like to picture your first newspaper picture being like in Deadwood, something like that.
No. They actually had real life cameras and stuff. They didn't have camera phones back then.
No, of course not.
But they did have cameras. But yeah, it was just sad to look at all of us. It's like, God, we all look so young. And now I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh my God, you're hideous, bro. It happens.
Look at the age difference between Wilder and Fury, and then look at their actual look at their faces and tell me which one do you think is older and which one do you think is younger. Because my wife and I had this conversation the other night where she looked at Tyson Fury and went, God, he's got to be like 40 years old. And then we looked up both their ages.
Yeah, Tyson Fury's younger.
He's younger than me.
Yeah. He's I don't know how he's
30.
Yeah, 30, 31.
Deontay Wilder's 34. Yeah. And looks like he's 27, 28.
Yeah.
I'm getting a lot of
bald guys with beards age very poorly. Very poorly.
Well,
and the taller they are, the worse it is.
Especially when they drink a lot. And,
yep.
Yeah. So, just saying.
We've brought this on ourselves. Speaking of drinking a lot. Did you see this? Vodka Red Bull is trending on Twitter.
That's your go-to in Vegas.
It often is. I like vodka sugar-free Red Bull. Sometimes
right. They
don't have sugar-free Red Bull, and then I'll just do like tequila soda or something like that. But there was a big discussion of whether it should be called Vodka Red Bull or Red Bull Vodka, which Red Bull Vodka is weird and crazy. Like, don't call it.
No, in any alcoholic drink, the alcohol comes first.
Yeah, it's gin and tonic. It's
Jack and Coke.
Or, yeah, Crown and Coke, whatever. Rum and soda. Rum and cola, I mean.
Seven and seven. Oh, wait.
Oh, that one's a little of an outlier.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing.
But I like tequila soda. Like, it's always, if you've got a one mixer combo, it's always the booze followed by the mixer.
Right.
Like vodka cranberry.
Yeah.
I don't know how this is even a question.
Yeah, who's
Red Bull vodka? I think because the some of the hip kids will shorten vodka Red Bull to RBV.
That's,
which I don't like.
No, that's dumb.
Because it's vodka, it's VRB, but RBV does sound cooler. But it's not that much work to say.
Yeah, like why do we need to shorten it to three letters when it's, you know.
The only people who should be shortening it to that three letters is a waitress who's writing it down.
Right.
But even then, I mean, VRB makes more sense.
Yeah. All right. 713-780-ESPN. We will have 30 minutes left.
Oh, my gosh. Time is flying. I got to tell you about Allstate. Allstate siding and windows. And, guys, if you want to start the new year off great, you do it with Allstate. The Houston weather's so unpredictable, and if you've been heating or cooling your house, the professionals at Allstate Siding and Windows can help you by checking your older windows for drafts. You could be just letting money float out the window. You don't want that. Call Allstate Siding and Windows today for your free window inspection. Plus, you'll get 30% off all windows and $2,500 for all full siding jobs. These guys do business the right way. They're family-owned and operated for over 45 years. They've been around. They're going to be around. Military discounts, senior discounts, first responder discounts. This is the kind of company you want to do business with. You want the best rate. Who do you call? You call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows, 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936, or check them out online. AllstateSidingandWindows.com. That's AllstateSidingandWindows.com.